Morton spoke quickly. Evans scribbled, trying to keep up. It was a complicated story that he took down as best he could. John Kim, the manager of Scotiabank Vancouver, had been called by a customer named Nat Damon, a local marine operator. Damon had deposited a check from a company called Seismic Services in Calgary, and the check had bounced. It was for $250,000. Damon was nervous about whoever had written the check and asked Kim to look into it. John Kim could not legally make inquiries in the U.S., but the issuing bank was in Calgary, and he had a friend who worked there. He learned that Seismic Services was an account with a postal box for an address. The account was modestly active, receiving deposits every few weeks from only one source. The Friends of the Planet Foundation, based in San Jose, Costa Rica. Kim placed a call down there. Then about that time, it came up on his screen that the check had cleared. Kim called Damon and asked him if he wanted to drop the inquiry. Damon said no, check it out. Kim had a brief conversation with Miguel Chavez at the Banco Credito Agricola in San Jose. Chavez said he had gotten an electronic deposit from the Mariah Wind Power Associates via Ansbach Cayman Limited, a private bank on Grand Cayman Island. That was all he knew. Chavez called Kim back 10 minutes later to say he had made inquiries at Ansbach and had obtained a record of a wire transfer that was paid into the Mariah account by the International Wilderness Preservation Society 3 days before that, and the IWPS transfer noted in the comment field, G. Morton Research Fund. John Kim called his Vancouver client, Nat Damon, to ask what the check was for. Damon said it was for the lease of a small two-man research submarine. Kim thought that was pretty interesting, so he telephoned his friend George Morton to kid him a bit and ask why he was leasing a submarine. And to his surprise, Morton knew absolutely nothing about it. Evans finished taking down notes on the pad. He said, "This is what some bank manager in Vancouver told you?"
"Yes, a good friend of mine. Why are you looking at me that way?"
"Because it's a lot of information," Evans said. He didn't know anything about banking rules in Canada, to say nothing of Costa Rica, but he knew it was unlikely that any banks would freely exchange information in the way Morton had described. If the Vancouver manager's story was true, there was more to it that he wasn't telling. Evans made a note to check into it. "And do you know the International Wilderness Preservation Society, which has your check for $250,000? Morton shook his head.
"Never heard of them."
"So you never gave them $250,000? Morton shook his head.
"I'll tell you what I did do in the last week," he said. "I gave $250,000 to Nicholas Drake to cover a monthly operating shortfall. He told me he had some problem about a big contributor from Seattle not coming through for a week. Drake's asked me to help him out before like that, once or twice."
"You think that money ended up in Vancouver?" Morton nodded. "You'd better ask Drake about it," Evans said. "I have no idea at all," Drake said, looking mystified. "Costa Rica? International Wilderness Preservation? My goodness, I can't imagine." Evans said, "You know the International Wilderness Preservation Society?"
"Very well," Drake said. "They're excellent. We've worked closely with them on any number of projects around the world. The Everglades, Tiger Tops in Nepal, the Lake Toba Preserve in Sumatra. And the only thing I can think is that somehow George's check was mistakenly deposited in the wrong account. Or, I just don't know. I have to call the office. But it's late in California. It'll have to wait until morning."
Morton was staring at Drake, not speaking. "George," Drake said, turning to him, "I'm sure this must make you feel very strange, even if it's an honest mistake, as I am almost certain it is,
It's still a lot of money to be mishandled. I feel terrible. But mistakes happen, especially if you use a lot of unpaid volunteers, as we do. But you and I have been friends for a long time. I want you to know that I will get to the bottom of this, and of course I will see that the money is recovered at once. You have my word, George.
Thank you, Morton said.
They all climbed into the Land Cruiser. The vehicle bounced over the barren plain.
Damn, those Icelanders are stubborn, Drake said, staring out the window. They may be the most stubborn researchers in the world.
He never saw your point? Evans said.
No, Drake said. I couldn't make him understand. Scientists can't adopt that lofty attitude anymore. They can't say, I do the research and I don't care how it is used. That's out of date. It's irresponsible, even in a seemingly obscure field like glacier geology, because like it or not, we're in the middle of a war, a global war of information versus disinformation. The war is fought on many battlegrounds, newspaper op-eds, television reports, scientific journals, websites, conferences, classrooms, and courtrooms, too, if it comes to that.
Drake shook his head.
We have truth on our side, but we're outnumbered and outfunded. Today, the environmental movement is David battling Goliath, and Goliath is Aventis and Alcatel, Humana and GE, BP and Bayer, Shell and GlaxoWelcome. Huge global corporate. And these people are the implacable enemies of our planet, and Per Einarsson, out there on his glacier, is irresponsible to pretend it isn't happening.
Sitting beside Drake, Peter Evans nodded sympathetically, though, in fact, he took everything Drake was saying with a large grain of salt. The head of NERF was famously melodramatic, and Drake was pointedly ignoring the fact that several of the corporations he had named made substantial contributions to NERF every year, and three executives from those companies actually sat on Drake's board of advisors. That was true of many environmental organizations these days, although the reasons behind corporate involvement were much debated.
Well, Morton said, maybe Pear will reconsider later on.
I doubt it, Drake said gloomily.
He was angry. We've lost this battle, I'm sorry to say. But we do what we always do. Soldier on, fight the good fight.
It was silent in the car for a while.
The girls were damn good-looking, Morton said. Weren't they, Peter?
Yes, Evans said.
They were.
Evans knew that Morton was trying to lighten the mood in the car, but Drake would have none of it. The head of NERF stared morosely at the barren landscape and shook his head mournfully at the snow-covered mountains in the distance. Evans had traveled many times with Drake and Morton in the last couple of years. Usually Morton could cheer everybody around him, even Drake, who was glum and fretful. But lately Drake had become even more pessimistic than usual. Evans had first noticed it a few weeks ago, and had wondered at the time if there was illness in the family, or something else that was bothering him. But it seemed there was nothing amiss, at least nothing that anyone would talk about. NERF was a beehive of activity. They had moved into a wonderful new building in Beverly Hills. Fundraising was at an all-time high. They were planning spectacular new events and conferences, including the Abrupt Climate Change Conference that would begin in 2 months. Yet despite these successes, or because of them, Drake seemed more miserable than ever. Morton noticed it too, but shrugged it off.
"He's a lawyer," he said. "What do you expect? Forget about it."
By the time they reached Reykjavik, the sunny day had turned wet and chilly. It was sleeting at Keflavik Airport, obliging them to wait while the wings of the white Gulfstream jet were de-iced. Evans slipped away to a corner of the hangar, and since it was still the middle of the night in the U.S., placed a call to a friend in banking in Hong Kong. He asked about the Vancouver story.
"Absolutely impossible," was the immediate answer. No bank would divulge such information, even to another bank. There's an STR in the chain somewhere.
An STR?
Suspicious transfer report. If it looks like money for drug trafficking or terrorism, the account gets tagged, and from then on it's tracked. There are ways to track electronic transfers, even with strong encryption, but none of that tracking is ever going to wind up on the desk of a branch manager.
No?
Not a chance. You'd need international law enforcement credentials to see that tracking report.
So this branch manager didn't do all this himself?
I doubt it. There is somebody else involved in this story. A policeman of some kind. Somebody you're not being told about.
Like a customs guy or Interpol?
Or something.
Why would my client be contacted at all?
I don't know, but it's not an accident. Does your client have any radical tendencies?
Thinking of Morton, Evans wanted to laugh.
Absolutely not.
You're quite sure, Peter?
Well, yes.
Because sometimes these wealthy donors amuse themselves or justify themselves by supporting terrorist groups. That's what happened with the IRA. Rich Americans in Boston supported them for decades. But times have changed. No one is amused any longer. Your client should be careful, and if you're his attorney, you should be careful, too. Hate to visit you in prison, Peter.
And he hung up.